You got your Bibles? Turn with me today to the book of James chapter 1. I want to preach on something today that's very seldom ever talked about, and I'm going to be kind of pastoral in it. The Lord began to deal with me this week in the middle of the prosperity meeting convention we were having. I want to deal with sin today. Sin is hardly ever preached on anymore in the church. Hell is almost a word that doesn't exist. And they say, well, hell is a metaphor. No, hell is a flaming fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, whether you believe it or not, your butt will burn if you go there. Now, that, excuse my French in a sense, but that's just a fact. And I don't think I would want worms crawling all over me neither. That's a terrible place. I want to talk this morning. Title of this message is called Sin-Free Living. We've been told for centuries and millenniums that we have to sin every day. That is not true. The Bible says we've all sinned, but it doesn't say we're all sinners. If you're sinning every day, then you have a problem. You're beginning to enjoy your sin. I told a very famous preacher that fell because of immorality that he didn't hate sin. And he got very angry with this dude. I said, no, you don't. You hate what sin does to you. You hate the wages of sin. See, if you hate something, you don't mess with it. You understand what I'm saying? If you hate Coca-Cola, you'll never order it. I don't care if a Coca-Cola truck come in front of you. If you hate it, you're not going to mess with it. If you hate broccoli, you're not going to eat it. Our first president, George Herbert W. Walker Bush, I think that's his name, the first president hated broccoli so much, made the broccoli growers of America mad at him. He said, I don't want it on Air Force One. Mama made me eat that I'm the president. I don't want it. And all the broccoli growers got mad. Well, he ought to eat our product. But there's a lot of things you don't like. See? So if you hate something, you don't mess with it. You see what I'm saying? But most people hate the wages of it. Look what it says here in James chapter 1, verse 12. That's where I want to get to. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. It didn't say enjoyeth temptation. You got to be careful when you begin to enjoy temptations. When it begins to tickle your ears. Blessed or empowered to prosper. There's that prosperity stuff again. That's what the word blessed means. Empowerment to prosper is the man or the person that endureth, not enjoy temptation, for when he is tried. So temptation is a trial. He shall receive. Now notice what you receive when you endure it instead of take it into you. He shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So when we don't sin, it's because of an act of love to God. Then verse 13, and I wish the church world would understand it. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now what part of that you don't understand? For God cannot be tempted with evil. Now if you look at that word evil, it means, and now let me get to it real quick, or evils. Neither tempteth he any man. God don't have to tempt you. Well, now notice what happened. But every man is tempted when, notice the word when, he is drawn away of his what? Own lust. And enticed. That when lust hath conceived a birth, that's a time factor, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, a birth, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. I want to talk today about sin-free living. Now, I'm going to say something that a lot of people will disagree with, but it's just simply the truth. I go long extended periods of time without sinning. Why? Because I hate it. I have sinned, but I do not sin every day. And as a minister of the gospel, there are sins that no minister should ever commit. Amen. Now, write this down in your, just put a little note on the side. It's not a temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted. But it is a sin to yield. It's not a sin to be tempted, but it is a sin to yield. Because you see, God in his infinite mercy and grace gave you the power and authority to stop it. And everybody's waiting for God to pull you out of it when you have that authority in your own self to do it. Now notice what it says here again in verse 12. Blessed or empowered to prosper is the man that endureth, not enjoyeth, but endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life. Now notice God's not doing that. The devil's doing that. Which the Lord had received the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Write this down. The more perfect the Christian, the greater the number of risk he has passed through. You know why I don't sin much? Because of who I am, because of my faith? No, because I've been through some things, though I walk through. It didn't say, though I stop and look around. The more perfect or the more matured the Christian, the greater the number of risks he has passed through. See, when the devil brought the temptation to me, I didn't forget it. I learned from it. I learned that, oh, wait a minute, son. All that is a devilish or a wicked tool, and I don't use those tools. See, so I learned from it so that I wouldn't be caught in a snare. So the more perfect the Christian, the better or the greater the number of risks he has passed through. Now, if the devil had any sense, which he doesn't, he actually pushes people to God with sin. If the devil would leave people alone, most people go to hell by themselves. It's called complacency. But he aggravated them so bad that they say, forget it. So what do you think of when you think of a temptation? Write this down. Temptations exercise our moral muscles. You don't know how strong your morality is until the devil tries to make you commit immorality. Now, I'm not looking for that temptation, but if it comes, I realize that greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I heard a person say this the other day. I had a person say, well, you know, homosexuals are born that way. No, no. What equipment do you have? Go look at your equipment. Not now. Just go look at your equipment. Your equipment tells you what you are. It's your equipment. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Temptations exercise our moral muscles. Now watch this. The most dangerous parts of our lives are not the moments of battle, but the moments of rest. Now I'm not talking about resting in the Lord. That's what we should rest. We have a bad habit of just trying to rest in our own power. See, I'm talking about where you get in trouble. Let me say it again. The most dangerous parts of our life are not the moments of battle, because our anointing or our spiritual adrenaline is flowing strong. It's when we're at rest, or in other words, not resting in the Lord, but resting in our own power, is when those things begin to look good to us. Notice this, that when you miss church, and I'm not saying this because to make you come to church, God couldn't make you come if I tried. But notice this, when you begin to miss church, you aggravation sets in at the house. You miss Sunday, come Wednesday, you and your wife had each other's neck. Now if you miss Wednesday or anything else, Lord Jesus, you're almost, and when the altar call is given, you need to come get saved almost over. Because you see, that's when you're at your weakest. You're not resting in the Lord. You're resting from the Lord. Don't never rest from the Lord. Amen. Write that down. You rest in the Lord. See, I have people mad at me because me and Kathy go to church on our vacation. What? Yeah. Well, that's God, man. You know, you're always in church. Yeah, but I'm not resting from the Lord. Amen. I'm resting in the Lord. Now, if I'm resting in the Lord, anything can come. If a temptation comes, to me it's just like a weight, you know. I exercise my moral muscle. I say, no, I'll not do that. I've been working out. I can handle that. Let me say it again. Temptations exercise our moral muscles. The more dangerous parts of our lives are not the moments of battle, but the moments of rest. What I'm saying, you rest in the Lord, you don't rest from Him. In other words, when we're on vacation, a lot of times, Kathy gets up, she still does her normal thing. She heads straight for a coffee pot, whether it's in a hotel room or at the house. And then the next thing she does is you'll find her with a Bible or something else, and she is resting in the Lord. I've went back there. We have a sunroom on the back of our house, and she's just praying in the Holy Ghost or just reading. She's resting in the Lord. Even though we may have preached, why am I preaching this morning? I've done about 21 straight services, Lord Jesus. Between television and everything. Why? Well, I rest in the Lord instead of resting from Him. And blessed and empowered is the man that endureth, not enjoyeth temptation. You know why Jesus didn't sin? Oh, because He's the Son of God. No! Because He hated sin. In the book of Hebrews, He said, oh Lord, that I would not even look upon it. So if you hate something, you don't mess with it. Jesus had His quiet times with the Father. He didn't rest from Him. He rested with Him. Now write this down. Temptations cannot make us sinful. Only our consent alone can. Say it again. Let me write it down. Temptations cannot make us sinful. Our consent alone can. See, when you consent to temptation, that's when you get in trouble. Now, my mind, the devil tries to use my mind all the time. He's trying to constantly, he can't touch my spirit, and he knows that. So he goes to the pathway to my spirit, which is the mind. Or the soul of man. And it says, be not conformed to this world. Now, what is conformity to the world? Conformity is this, politically correct. Nobody that want to be politically incorrect. Politically, what I mean by saying is that, well, you know, poverty is pornography is a part of the world. So what are you going to do? And you know, freedom of speech. Now we got children that can't even hardly speak the English language. I'm not talking about Hispanic. I'm talking about people speaking English. They'd rather use slang. Their vocabulary of cuss words is much bigger than their vocabulary of educated words. They can't say two words without using an F word. Something's got, they can't even hardly make a movie. And they call it reality. Change it. You're destroying the education of people. You're making them go lower instead of higher. I never forget one time a kid was cussing. He said, what are you doing about that? I said, there's a lot of other words in the dictionary. Do you know what a dictionary is? He went, what? Now he's mad at me. I said, you ought to go home and just look at it. You're not smart enough to look at that. Oh, that challenged him. And boy, he came back and said, well, I won't tell you this. He said, I found the word odious. I said, put it in a sentence. Well, you didn't tell me to do that. I said, it's amazing how many other great words there are than the words that you're using. It's a lack of education. It really is. So temptations cannot make us sinful. Our consent alone can. Now, how does this temptation start? It starts with a thought. Let me make this announcement on worldwide television as well as coverage. I get bad thoughts. But what I do, because I'm scripturally literate, I go, stop. That's not my thoughts. That's not my thoughts. I do not think that way. I am not conformed to the world. I am transformed. I have a renewed mind. Now go with me to Philippians chapter 4 and let me show you what to think on. When a bad thought gets in your mind or the devil injects a flying, fleeting thought. And in Philippians 4 verse 7 says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and what? Minds, souls, the mind, will, and emotion, minds, through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, And if there be any praise, notice the next word. Think on these things. So when an ugly thought tries to invade my mind, I say, that's not my thought. I will not think that way. Well, how do you stop the devil from messing with your thoughts? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Come on. We're going to go through the scripture today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's start with verse 3. Paul writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. I'm doing some explaining this morning. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, I don't deny I'm in the flesh. That's why ugly thoughts are coming in my mind. I am still a flesh man, but it's a crucified flesh man. He says, we do not war after the flesh. That's one of the most powerful verses in scripture. This boy is no longer having his flesh war with. It's not a fight no more. How did he do that? For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 10, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. That's those ugly thoughts. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. What did God say about that? Bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. You see what I'm saying? So when temptations come, or when an ugly thought gets in my mind, I'm talking about sin-free living here. I mean, how many of y'all don't want to sin this week? You listen to what I'm saying. So what I do when the devil, I say, oh, my weapons are not carnal. I address the person that is injecting and trying to get me to receive that thought. My weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of your stronghold. By casting down that imagination, because you live in an imaginary world. By casting out imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You want to get healed every time? Every time the devil tells you to say you're sick, say, I will not. Jesus said by stripes, I am, I will, I is. Now that may be not good English, but it's sure good scripture. I cast down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God says I'm healed. Yeah, but you sick. I ain't denying sickness. I'm talking about what I am. Well, you deny sick. No, you're the one deny. I deny it. I deny it's right. I am. Amen. You see what I'm saying? But you see, you can't only say that outside. You better be saying that inside. That's why sometimes people's prayers don't come to pass. Because they're saying it outside, but they're not saying it inside. There's a triune being inside of you. There's a spirit, a soul, and a body. Your soul may be saying one thing and your spirit saying another. Now, only you know that. I cast down that imagination, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I ain't the ugliest man in the world. You've heard me say it before. I get hit on every once in a while. Can you believe it? I'm talking about some foxy women. I ain't talking about some ugly sweat hog. I'm talking about a foxy women. You understand what I'm saying? Because my ugly sweat hog don't tempt me at all. You understand what I'm saying? Well, when a pretty woman, I go, oh, I cast down that imagination, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I bring every thought into captivity to obedience of Christ. And I also add something else. And I said, Lord, I know if I did this, Kathy would kill me and I wouldn't have time to repent. So I won't even think on that. Now, I talk real fast right there, but that's exactly the truth. I made it funny, but it's very serious. Who's your Delilah? Is your Delilah a woman? Is your Delilah a man? Huh? Do you enjoy men's hands on you? Man. Oh, Jesus. Who's your Delilah? Is your Delilah money? What has caught your attention? What has got it? When you got the ability to cast it down. And you're going to tell the Lord, couldn't help myself. Some of you preachers messing up with men and women. Couldn't help myself. Stupid. That's what you are, stupid. You got the power. And you are actually saying, boy, it irritates me when that happens. You got to say, well, I couldn't help myself. Lie, you fry. That's a lie. You said God is weaker than your temptation. Or like the black people say, your mama. It angers me. Not being judgmental, being truthful here. Can't you see a woman more than some parts? Can't you see what God created? A speaking spirit? Can't you see a man more than some sexual? Your equipment doesn't work. It's the wrong equipment. Because if homosexuality is an alternate lifestyle, and if it became the prominent lifestyle, it would stop the human race. You cannot create. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is your Delilah a thief? Are you a stealer of things? Or are you just flat lazy? All right. What is your Delilah? Because you're going to lose your anointing and your eyes and your life. But Jesus said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Now let me write this down. Our freedom has been given by the highest authority, and there is no court of appeals. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8. Verse 2. Let me say the point again. Our freedom has been given by the highest authority. There is no court of appeals. Romans 8. Let's read verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, or the anointed Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you know death cannot claim you because you've been freed from it until you speak it? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Not in the power of sickness. Not in the power of age. But in the power of tongue. Why so many people die by Jesus? Because we're not taught these things. We're taught to get old, get sick, and die. Why can't you get old and die instead of being sick? Why can't you say, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. My life is finished and I'm going home to be with you. And I've been talking to you in the spirit, but in the next few seconds, we're going to talk face to face. Fold your legs up and give up the ghost. You know why? Because you hadn't been taught that. You've been taught that as you get older, your kidney got to fail. You've been taught as you get older and your circulation got to plug up. You've been taught as you get older that all this kind of stuff. I'm not denying that because we're proving it every day. But because preachers refuse to preach the complete gospel because supposed it don't work. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I'm going to preach healing and nobody ever gets healed. Do you understand? I'm going to preach salvation and nobody ever gets saved. It's not determined by that. Our freedom has been given by the highest authority. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free. So don't tell me I got to sin every day. Couldn't help myself. Yes, you can. Either you lying or God's lying, I pick you. Now, this ain't the normal Jesse Duplantis. And I know that. But you know what? It hadn't been talked no more. Hell ain't talked about. Sin's not talked about. And it's very prevalent today. Write this down. Freedom is the heritage of the believer. I have a heritage of freedom. Look what it says in James chapter 1. Go back over to James chapter 1. Write it down. Freedom is the heritage of the believer. That's that law of the Spirit of life. Are you at James chapter 1? Write this down. Truth is not designed to restrain you. Truth is designed to set you free. So many people think becoming a Christian becomes a life of bondage. No, becoming a Christian makes you see the truth. And it's not given to you to refrain you, to stop you. But it's given to you to set you free. Truth is not designed to restrain you. Truth is designed to set you free. That's what it's all about. You know, I can do more things now that I'm a Christian than I could when I was a sinner. You know, I did three things when I was a sinner. I only did three things and I was a good sinner. What did you do? Well, I got drunk. Waited for the weekend to get drunk so I could put my face in a place where my face should never be. Drink to it. Take drugs, chase women. That's what we did. That's called fun to a man. Get drunk, smoke the dope, drop a piece. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Chase women. Get drunk. Three things. Wait all week long to get drunk. Worked all week to try to accumulate something in life and then throw it away on a Friday night. Chase a woman. Take drugs. That's it. Now, you know, most of the meals I ate when I was drunk, I don't even remember. I know what they look like because I threw them up. See what I'm saying? There ain't much to do as a sinner. Look what it said in James chapter 1, verse 5. But then if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all, not just men, but to everyone, liberally. God don't create dumb people. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So when God gave me the truth, it didn't restrain me. It set me free. I said, no, I don't have to do that. I was so powerful in the flesh that I could shut the devil down even when I wasn't saved. My flesh is more powerful than the devil. How many times when I was a sinner, controlled by the devil, that the devil wanted me to do some more sinning, but I was tired. You know what I'm talking about? Well, why don't you go out and do some more sinning? No, I ain't doing it. I'm going home and get some sleep, you stupid, ugly devil. Shut the devil down in my own flesh state. Well, if I can shut that sucker down in my own flesh state, how much more can I shut him down with the name of Jesus? How? Glory to God. Somebody talk to me in this place here. I shut him down even when I worked for him. How much more can I shut him down when I'm now with the King of Kings, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Bright Morning Star? Hey, glory to God. Woo! It's wonderful to get up in the morning and not feel guilty. How could you shut down a fifth of whiskey a day, a little dope a week, cocaine, PCP, crystal meth? I'll tell you how, whom the Spirit of God, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. I can get around all the booze I want, all the meth I want, all the women I want. I'm a free man. I got a heritage of God in my life. I am not struggling with the devil. The devil is struggling with me. Woo, Jesus. Well, I'm spitting all over myself this morning. How do you know this? Write it down. God has broken into our lives by revelation. It was literally an invasion. I got invaded by the Holy Ghost. Let me say it again. God has broken into our lives by revelation. It was literally an invasion of his holiness. I'm saved. I'm excited about my salvation. I still am after what, Kathy, 30-something years. Lord Jesus, I'm excited. I'm like the Apostle Paul. Let me tell you what happened to me on the Damascus Road. Instead of saying, hey, man, did you see that foxy woman looking at me? Forget the foxy woman. That's a fleeting moment. That's all that is. Ah, but this salvation is eternal life. God has broken into our lives by revelation. It was literally an invasion. See, to me, Christianity is a living faith. And God is alive in it. Write that down, Lord Jesus. Christianity is a living faith, and God is alive in it. That's why I don't drink, smoke dope, chase things, steal money, do all this stuff. I truly have the commandment of love, because if I have the commandment of love, I will not steal. I will not commit adultery. I'm under the greatest commandment. It's greater than the 10. He said, I give you a new one. that you love one another. My goodness, you love people. You won't steal. You won't commit adultery. Lord Jesus, do you see that? Christianity is a living faith, and God is alive. And is God alive inside of you? Talk to me. Is God alive inside of you? Or is sin so prevalent in your mind and you refuse to cast it down because it strokes your ego? Silliness. Lord Jesus, glory to God. Man, I'm at the point in my life, I don't even think about sin. It's not a part of my nature. I see a woman, if she's pretty, I see pretty. But that ain't my woman. And I just don't see her body. Because I don't care how pretty her body is, it's going to fall down. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care how much of a hunk a man is or a woman is. It's going to bite the dust one day. So what? Do you see? Because you're more than just some case, some ornament. My Lord. Why do you love Jesus so much? Well, Christians are living faith. God's alive in it every day. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Free. Boy, when sin come at me, I go, I'm a free man. One time I was on the streets of New York. I'm just standing around. You can tell when you're visiting New York because your head's up all the time. You know, you're looking at all these big buildings. That first time I've been there, I couldn't get over that place. Call it the Stone Jungle. Lord. I was on 51st Street? Where the Rockettes are. What's the name of that? Radio City Music Hall. I was standing by the corner and a hooker come up to me. Now, Kathy was in the store getting a camera or something, some kind of film or something. Some film in the camera. And she saw that hooker. That hooker look at me, that didn't stroke my ego. And that wasn't a bad looking hooker. I ain't talking about some pimp looking crazy hooker. I'm talking a good looking hooker. She just said, hello. I said, hello. Are you having fun? I said, yeah. She said, would you like to have some more fun? I said, what? She said, with me. I said, no. Kathy, come grab me by the arm. I ain't letting you by yourself no more. Come grab me out. I said, no. I said, but I know Jesus, girl. I know Jesus. You don't know Jesus. And now you're selling yourself you're worth so much more. I don't care who you are, boy. Trust your heart, man. Well, that's all I know how to do. No, that's not how you got a brain. That organ of your brain is better than the rest of them other organs. Probably was hurt in a church somewhere. Mm-mm. Christianity is a living faith. God's alive in it. Do you understand how much I enjoyed booze? I've been drinking since I was 5 years old. I'm telling you, I used thermos bottles with slow gin and they thought it was Kool-Aid. I was smart enough to always make my own money and get some kid somebody to buy me some. I'd get a wino. I'll give you $2, go in there and buy this and buy me this. Okay, yeah. I didn't care. See, but when I got born again, my taste changed. Look at it. Call a Holy Ghost tongue. Get a good shot at it. Draw real close. I had a Holy Ghost tongue. I had a Holy Ghost tongue. Come on, get closer. Holy Ghost tongue. Holy Ghost tongue. Aren't you tired of having the repent? Oh, Jesus, don't kill me. Lord. Oh, Jesus, I'll never do it again until tomorrow. Oh, Jesus. Write this down. We should draw from the life of God instead of constantly drawing from the grace of God. Thank God for his grace, unmerited favor. But you see, he came to give life to the full, to the overflow. If we draw more from the life, we won't be having to ask God to forgive us so much. Amen. Thank God that he gives us grace. He said this, sin abound, grace abound. Yeah, but he said, but just because grace abound don't mean you sin more. But you'd be surprised how many people really work that grace thing. We should draw from the life of God instead of constantly drawing from the grace of God. Why is the life of God so strong? Well, the word of God cannot be tamed and God cannot be domesticated. Write that down. The word of God cannot be tamed and God cannot be domesticated. What do you mean domesticated? Becoming politically correct. The word of God don't change. Yeah, but we change. Don't make no difference. You change. The word of God don't change. Because the word of God is also future, as well as present, as well as past. Do you see what I'm saying? Sin is sin. Sin in the 1800s is equal to sin in 2000. Or better, 2006, 2007, 2009. It don't make no difference. Sin is sin. It never changes. Well, neither is the word of God. You can't domesticate God's word. The word of God cannot be tamed and God cannot be domesticated. You see what I'm saying? See, the Bible handles mankind. Mankind does not handle the Bible. Write that down. The Bible handles mankind. Mankind does not handle the Bible. You theologians that are trying to handle the Bible, you're dealing with something holy that is unchangeable. Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. You don't handle the scripture. The scripture handles you. Do you see that? Let me say it again. The Bible handles mankind. Mankind does not handle the Bible. If you want to live sin-free, live it. My Lord, let the Bible handle you instead of you handling it. Because you will find something in there to open up an opportunity to sin. I don't look for scriptures in the Bible to appease my flesh. I look for scriptures in the Bible to crucify my flesh. Why? Because the Bible is handling me instead of me handling the Bible. Amen. Do you see that? I can find all kind of scripture and make it. That's why everybody got all these different interpretations trying to justify. See, trying to justify. Like one man asked me, how come Jesus never spoke about homosexuality? I don't follow the teachings of Paul. I follow the teachings of Jesus. Well, if Jesus would have said everything, Paul would have been, he wouldn't have had to say anything. Nobody could have said anything. Jesus gave responsibilities to his disciples and his apostles. He could have said it all, but when they said it all, he said it. How do you know? 2 Timothy 3:19, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So Romans 1's talking about homosexuality and bisexuality and bestiality. Even though it came from the lips of the apostle Paul, God called it canon and holy scripture. Amen. Jesus, hey, you want some help? Jesus didn't even do the work of the Holy Spirit. He didn't cross that line. He said, I must go away. If I don't go away, the comforter won't come. So he didn't tell us everything because he had to leave us something to say. Leave us something to do. He called it the Holy Scriptures. Holy canon. Do you get that? Do you understand what I'm saying? And in the great, terrible tragedy of sin in the Garden of Eden, they were expelled from the garden. Adam left Eden. And God went with him. He was his greatest possession. Adam's sin was unthinkable. But not unforgivable. Adam lost the presence of God. But not the voice of God. See, that's when grace came in right there. Grace was birthed, not in the Pauline revelation, when they were expelled from the garden. But wouldn't it have been a lot better if he'd have drawn from the life of God in the cool of the day and never having to go out and draw from the grace? That's what used to happen. He would come down and visit them in the cool of the day. Adam, Eve, how y'all doing? And they were drawing life from life. But when that happened, that great tragedy, the tragedy of all tragedies, in that tragedy, God's love was still manifested. Let me say it again. Adam left Eden and God went with him. His sin was unthinkable, but not unforgivable. He lost the presence of God, but not the voice of God. And you know what? We're still paying for that sin. Sin is very expensive. You will never finish paying it off. It's worse than a mortgage. At least mortgages has an ending. But not sin. Sin will make you pay. On your deathbed, it'll make you pay. But Jesus set you free. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. Who do you think you are? Everything God says. and I don't stand in my strength. Because I know what the scripture says. You see, I read the Bible. Have you? I could write a commentary on the Bible. Can you? Some of these people that quote scripture don't even know anything about scripture. See, I'm free. I know the Bible says, take heed when a man think he stand lest he fall. But that's talking about standing in your strength. Do you know I don't even have my own shoes on? I got my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know what peace means? Possession of adequate resource. My God, I don't have any of my clothes on. I have all the clothes of God on. I have a helmet of salvation, not the cap. Amen. You know the devil doesn't know it's me. Let me shock you. Let me get some ugly letters. When I'm walking around, the devil sometimes thinks I'm God. Oh, I'm going to get some ugly letters on that one, ain't it? Come on, write me. Why? I got the helmet of salvation on. I ain't got the cap. My head's covered. He don't know who's behind that in that helmet. That's right. A shield of faith, the blessed spirit of righteousness. My loins are girded about with truth. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I got a sword of the spirit. Don't that look like somebody powerful? That sure don't look like a man till you turn around and your butt's hanging out. Because there's no covering for the back. You know why? You don't turn and run. You stand and fight. Having done all the stand therefore. Having what? Oh, Lord. He don't know it's you. Now don't take the helmet on and say, it's not God, devil. It's just me. Christianity is a living faith and God is alive in it. Do you see that? Sin-free living. I'm tired of... I know God forgives, but my Lord, the blood of Jesus has been tread on upon enough by preachers. And don't let some eloquent mouthpiece, especially some of you ladies, make you think that you're supposed to minister to them. Your breasts belong to you, not him. Amen. Do you understand that? Amen. Am I as strong as I can be? I want to get flat blunt. I can go lower. Look at some of y'all. Please don't. Because that doesn't make you a woman. That's your equipment. That's just equipment. Let me tell you where your woman is. Right here. Right here, speaking spirit. Amen. See my point? And you ain't something to be fondled with. And then when they finish, shout, ladies, I just set you free. Do you see that? And vice versa. You women have wanted so much freedom, now you're acting like an old ugly man. Some of you young people, girls, let me tell you, you stand up for who you are. You be educated. See, I use better words than stupid slang. I'm going to do something in life. See what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with being young. I used to be young. I love young. I'm going back to young. That's how much I like young. Amen. Jesus coming back. I ain't going to have my white hair no more. You're going to see me like Kathy saw me. Then you'll know why she married me. Look at that good looking boy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's why she said that the other day. Thank you for looking, Jesse. I still look at it. Can you believe it? Isn't that better than looking at someone else? Amen. Don't shout me down. Huh? Amen. It's better than looking at someone else, isn't it? Yes. Isn't it? Yes. You see what I'm saying? But there's some people, they dress today. Say, Lord, why? They dress so much that they want you to see. I mean, their tops are so low. I mean, it's just hitting you in the eyeballs. There's a lot of men like to go to the mall, not the shop. I love to watch people. Yeah, but what parts are you watching? You see what I'm saying? Then I had one preacher one time. He said, I got to get out of this mall, man. I'm starting to lust. I said, your lust was in you before you got here. All right. Yeah. You don't need to get out the mall. You need to get out of lust. When lust hath conceived a birth, it bringeth forth what? Sin. Sin has conceived a finish, it bringeth forth death. Amen. You're going to die. It's going to kill you. It's a fact. It's sad to say it has a proven track record from the Garden of Eden. I want to show you how powerful God is. And I'll close with this. Even after Adam's sin, even though he lost the presence of God, but not the voice of God, took the devil 960 years to kill him. That's right. The residue of life that was on him, it took the devil almost a millennium to kill him. Yes. Can you imagine the devil saying, when is he going to die? When is he going to die? We made him sin. We destroyed him. And he just keeps living. And the demons are smarter than the devil. So, well, you know, he got that residue of God. Oh, shut up. That's why some sinners can preach the gospel. And just blunt sinners. That's why some preachers can be in pulpits and preach the gospel. You think that, why? Because they got a residue of God in them. You know what they're going to, when they're going to stand before God? Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. He calls them workers of iniquity. Amen. Iniquity. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I'm talking about sin-free living. I don't want this church sinning. I'm going to protect you. I don't want you hurt. I want your children growing up in a wonderful environment without prejudice, malice, hatred, amen, poverty, and sickness. The big five.
Amen. Amen.
This church stands. And if you believe with us and stick with us, and you're going to have to, you to want to come to this church, you've got to drive, you got to go out of your way. You know how them Metairie people, they can't get past veterans. A lot of them, am I telling the truth? The Kenneth people can't even get past the I-10 to 3. Oh, no. They call Destrehan the country. Oh, but they can go drive across somewhere. They can go to a beer jump, for they would say. They can go to some anything else. They can, you know. Why? Because they love that more than they love God. They ain't worried about the gas on Friday night, huh? You worry about the gas on Friday night and Saturday night? Hey, baby, what's up? Is that the truth? Oh, we're going to church. Oh, I can't go to church. You know how far that is? Yeah. It's called going to heaven. It's called a covenant. You know how close hell is to you? It's like someone got to me one time. He said, I'm behind you, Brother Jesse. I said, how far? Are you right there? Or can I see you? That's why I'm proud going on now 29 years of full-time ministry. I've never had a scandal. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. But let me tell you why. I've seen too many preachers fail, Kathy. I heard too many people talk about preachers failing. And it used to confuse the socks off of me. And I was stupid. I was 8 years old. Well, he preached to Jesus. Why did he run off with the piano player? All right. Now, in my mind, I didn't know what they were doing. I thought, we ain't got no piano player. Why the preacher took the piano player? Now, I wasn't thinking sex. I didn't know anything about that. I was 8 years old. Of course, an eight-year-old today can tell their parents how to have sex. I didn't know. I thought, why he take a piano player? You know, we need a piano player. And my daddy said, well, daddy, he did something wrong. You know what I call that? Nasty. Daddy went and played nasty. I mean, y'all remember that as a kid growing. I don't know if y'all ever got that, but I did. Nasty. Oh, nasty. I remember going to school telling the teacher, they said, what religion you are? I said, well, we used to be one, but the preacher was playing nasty. Don't say that. Well, it was truth. You asked me, boy, I was always blunt and just up front. Huh? Yeah. Cat said you was. You still are blunt and up front. I didn't know what that meant. That's all I had in my mind. So I made up my mind that I would live clean. Amen. Why? Amen. So I wouldn't hurt you. Amen. So I wouldn't hurt you. I adopted the Joseph syndrome. How can I do this wickedness and sin against my God? It is so bad that one time not long ago, I went to lunch with my own daughter. Kathy was doing something at all. I went to lunch with Jody. And this is several months back. We went to Houston's, I think it was. And but some people came in, they saw Jody and they saw me. And I know what they're thinking, because I have a gift of discerning of spirits. And the first thing I said, hey, how y'all doing? Hello, Brother Jesse. And looking at, I said, I'd like you to meet my daughter. And he was like, they went, this is my daughter. But isn't that a crying shame? That, but you know what? It was brought upon us by ministers who took oaths to live for God and refuse to stand up to that oath. Well, I took an oath when I received my executive commission as an evangelist of God's kingdom. What do you mean executive commission? The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is the executive branch of God's government. I never wanted to be. I'd have been a grass cutter at a church all my life and stayed right there. I'd have taught Sunday school all my life. You can ask Kathy, I didn't look for this. The Lord put me in the ministry. He put these bars. He put these stars. I'm now called by the younger preachers, one of God's generals. I thought, I must be getting old. Have you ever seen a young general? Boy, you know, I can't think of that black pastor up in Baltimore. Jamel, what's his name? Yeah, Jamel Brown looked at me when we was at TBN. He said, I've been wanting to meet you a long time. You did. He said, man, you're one of God's generals. I don't realize how old I am. I didn't think I was that old. And the other day at Christians United for Israel in Shreveport, the pastor turned around and said, Brother Jesse, I used to go to your meetings. I was a little boy. Well, let me tell you something. These cracks and crevices, I earned these babies. These are the marks of being a Christian. But in these cracks and crevices, no dirty soil. I'm a free man. Stand to your feet. Give the Lord a standing ovation. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.